roped off for some reason. No one seemed to notice her. She was watching the frantic witches around the hiver, where there was an occasional flash and sparkle of magic. She had a calm, faraway look. Tiffany brushed Miss Tick's arm away, ducked under the rope, and ran up to her. "Granny!" The blue eyes turned to her. "Yes?" "In stories, where the genie or the magic frog or the fairy godmother gives you three wishes, what's the third wish?"
"Ah, stories," said Granny. "That's easy. Any story worth telling, that knows the way of the world, the third wish is the one that undoes the harm the first two wishes caused."
"Yes, that's it. That's it," shouted Tiffany, and the words piling up behind the question poured out. "It's not evil, it can't be. It hasn't got a mind of its own. This is all about wishes, our wishes. It's like in the stories where they..."
"Calm down, take a deep breath," said Granny.
She took Tiffany by the shoulders so that she faced the panicking crowd. "You got frightened for a moment, and now it's coming, and it's not going to turn back, not now, because it's desperate. It don't even see the crowd. They don't mean a thing to it. It's you it wants. It's you it's after. You should be the one who faces it. Are you ready?"
"But supposing I lose?"
"I never got where I am today by supposing I was going to lose, young lady. You beat it once, you can do it again."
"But I could turn into something terrible."
"Then you'll face me," said Granny. "You'll face me on my ground. But that won't happen, will it? You were fed up with grubby babies and silly women? Then this is the other stuff. It's noon now. They should have started the trials proper, but, ha, it looks as though people have forgotten. Now then, do you have it in you to be a witch by noonlight, far away from your hills?"
"Yes."
There was no other answer. Not to Granny Weatherwax. Granny Weatherwax bowed low and then took a few steps back. "In your own time, then, madam," she said. "Wishes, wishes, wishes," thought Tiffany, distracted, fumbling in her pockets for the bits to make a shamble. "It's not evil. It gives us what we think we want. And what do people ask for? More wishes. You couldn't say, 'A monster got into my head and made me do it.' She'd wished the money was hers. The hiver just took her at her thought. You couldn't say, 'Yes, but I'd never have really taken it.' The hiver used what it found, the little secret wishes, the desires, the moments of rage, all the things that real humans knew how to ignore. It didn't let you ignore them." Then, as she fumbled to tie the pieces together, the egg flipped out of her hands, trusted in gravity, and smashed on the toe of her boot. She stared at it, the blackness of despair darkening the noon light. "Why did I try this? I've never made a shamble that worked, so why did I try?" "Because I believed it had to work this time, that's why. Like in a story. Suddenly it would all be all right. But this isn't a story, and there are no more eggs." There was a scream, but it was high up, and the sound of it took Tiffany home in the bounce of a heartbeat. It was a buzzard, and the eye of the sun getting bigger in its plunge towards the field. It soared up again as it passed over Tiffany's head, fast as an arrow, and as it did so, something small let go its load on the buzzard's talons with a cry of, "Crivens!" Rob Anybody dropped like a stone, but there was a thwop, and suddenly a balloon of cloth snapped open above him. Two balloons, in fact. Or, to put it another way, Rob Anybody had borrowed Hamish's parachute. He let go of them as soon as they'd slowed him down and dropped neatly into the shamble.
"Did you think we'd leave you?" he shouted, holding on to the strings. "I'm under a geese, me. Get on wi' it right now."
"What? I can't," said Tiffany, trying to shake him off. "Not with you. I'll kill you. I always crack the eggs."
"What goose?"
"Dinna argue," shouted Rob, bouncing up and down in the strings. "Do it, or you know the hag of the hills, and I know you are."
People were running past now. Tiffany glanced up. She thought she could see the hiver now as a moving shape in the dust. She looked at the tangle in her hands and at Rob's grinning face. The moment twanged. "A witch deals with things," said her second thoughts. "Get past the I can't."
"Okay. Why hasn't it ever worked before?"
"Because there was no reason for it to work. I didn't need it to work. I need it to help me now. No, I need me to help me. So think about it. Ignore the noise. Ignore the hiver rolling towards me over the trodden grass." She'd used the things she'd had, so that was right. Calm down. Slow down. Look at the shamble. Think about the moment. There were all the things from home. No, not all the things. Not all the things at all. This time she felt the shape of what wasn't there, and tugged at the silver horse around her neck, breaking its chain, then hanging it in the threads. Suddenly her thoughts were as cool and clear as ice, as bright and shiny.